Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of A to Z, you guys. Starring us. It's been a minute if you've been keeping up consistently. And for those of you who are just watching everything back to back and have never known that there was a gap, never mind. These all came out exactly in order. For those of you that don't know, I am Zero Remsen. Below me or to my right is my man Aaron Chase. This place is called A to Z because me and Aaron, at a base in our core, are very similar. But due to the way we were raised and our experiences through life, we ended up on different ends of the spectrum, where I tend to be the yang, the bright, the naive, the rainbow-colored glasses, the optimist. Aaron tends to be the pessimist, the realist, the actual, factual, inexperienced. And this podcast is about us coming together and learning both from each other and just seeing how the other side lives. Today's episode, we're talking about my stuff, apparently. Like, I guess that's what's on the topic today, because over the course of between the last episode and this episode, or at least in the order that you guys will see them, essentially the long and short of it, I'm going to try to concise, because if you know me, you know I talk a lot, and when I So the long and short of it is, I realize that I have some demons. I have turns out it's a thing where we all have problems. We all have crazies and all this stuff. And
Wait,
Aaron's
I just
making
want to. I just want to point. So I just want to make sure we're talking about Zero's demons today.
Usually, if you watch the episodes up to this point, usually the consensus of the show is Aaron has a bunch of stuff and he brings all his demons. And he works them out, and I talk through the positive side of his stuff. Well, today we're unpacking the stuff that I recently uncovered in myself, and they're deep, deep down stuff. See, the beauty of what Aaron has is that it's all so on the surface that, like, it's easy to say, oh, I should work on that, because it's like very directly there. I'm having confrontation with people. I'm having confrontation with work. I'm depressed inside my body. I don't feel safe or happy in that world. With me, it's more complicated because it's more like I feel like I'm happy and I feel like I'm okay. But then you go down to the core of it and you find out, oh, no, that's a freaking, it's not a lie. It's like a defense mechanism where you've created this whole thing around yourself. Again, mine's is this weird complication. Go ahead.
Sounds like toxic positivity.
In a weird way, yes, and it's self-inflicted. So for me, as far as mine works, or at least what I'm deducing, and again, I'm still figuring it out. So let's get some backdrop. So because Aaron's done his backdrop, some backdrop on me. Where I'm learning that my demons fall from are, like most people, from when they were ch children, when you were little and you created things to protect yourself. We all have crazy, we all have trauma, we all have stuff. 9 out of 10 of us never deal with it and can live our whole lives just putting it on the back burner and not worrying about it. And yes, you'll have little hiccups, little moments where you get triggered or messed up or you ruin something in your own life or stop yourself from a level of success. But you're okay with that because you've decided that's where you're fine. One of the things I'm realizing in everybody else and in of myself is that in a weird way, you are where you want to be. But that's a whole nother set of things. I'm talking about me right now. So, with my thing, I come from a childhood where overall, I had a really good childhood. It was amazing. My mom, my family that I grew up around, all very supportive.
Good for you.
Here's what I love is Aaron vents about his stuff, and I try to be genuinely positive and go, "Hey, man, that was rough. I'm sorry to hear about that." And Aaron's like, "Hey, here's a little bit of my darkness, Aaron. Oh, you got it so hard." No, I get it. And that's a part of my hiccup is that, like, I feel weird talking about how my childhood was great too. LOL. Yeah, and like you're still messed up. Like, that's what's crazy. That was a comment from down inside. So essentially, what it is it's like it's all relative. So because I grew up and my situation was so quote unquote good, right? Because my mom loved me and she showed me nothing but support and like was there and put me in everything. She did everything she could for me, and I cannot speak enough praises towards my mom and the female population that I grew up around. My cousins, my aunts, my grandma, they all did great by me, by me. But the lack of male presence in my life and how they subtly kind of hinted at it, put a negative stigma on what men were to me. And like the idea of a man to me in general has had this grossness on it. Like in general, men, I didn't have like a good male role model. Like my dad wasn't really around. He was around when I was born. He was there until about middle school. And then he kind of slowly pulled away and vanished. And then it was like, yeah, I see him twice a year. And most of the time it's like, I go over there, I see him, I say hi, and then I'm hanging out with my brothers. And he became more of a portal to hang out with my brothers than he was like my dad, who I talk to and connect with. Like we lost that bond ability like right after sixth grade. And so that, not having him around, having my grandpa who was around sometimes, but like clearly didn't like connect with me. And like he was trying too hard, that old school thing of like, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And it's like, well, I don't care about the things you, like, you want to teach me how to build a car, and I don't want to build a car. I don't want to build a house. And those are really great skills, I guess, that I guess in a world before the 2000s where we had internet access and I could just give money to somebody else who could do it for me, or I could Google it myself and learn, teach myself how to do it. Like, those are very valuable traits, and I respect that you put in hard work and did what you had to do. However, I personally don't care about those things, and it's clear that you don't care about the things that I do care about, so, like, it's fine. And so he wasn't around. Then there was the man that my grandma dated who was just, like, not present. Like, essentially, his whole thing was, like, he was weirdly one of the men that was the most around, but he was also one of the most epitome. YouTube is a great dad. but he was also the epitome of like a, like what you don't want to grow up to be. Cause he hit that like rut of old man where like there are men who grow up, work on themselves, get stronger, better, get their life goals accomplished and die happy and content with what they've done. And then there are men who do just enough to feel content and then have a steady decline into their own grave where they're just like going through the motions. And every day he would wake up, he would do the same thing. He'd wake up, go get some breakfast, which was usually like oatmeal or some dead inside meal, read the newspaper, watch something on the little TV for a little bit, go to the computer, play solitary, go down to the basement, smoke. Then he would come upstairs, eat something for lunch or dinner, go to his bedroom, be in his bedroom for however long, come out, play solitary some more, eat dinner, go back to the bedroom and or smoke, and then he'd go to sleep. And that was his life. And I don't remember ever seeing him smile. I don't remember ever seeing him have like, I'm glad to be here. And like that light was just out of his eyes. Now, to be fair, this man did fight in the army. So like maybe he just saw some stuff. But then I saw a home video of him when him and my grandma first were together and living in the house together, and it was like a home movie, and you could see he still had the brightness in his eyes. And I don't know what happened to him, but like that, those were my three role models. And so that in combination with the stories from the women who were around me going like, men kind of jacked us up. Like men either cheated, lied, abused, raped all of us in some way. And like, I'm like, oh, so men suck. And then society only affirmed that with more and more television and news about how being a man sucks. And again, another epiphany that I came to like super before even this, before my journey of where I'm at now, is the idea that like male, and this is going to sound like freaking crying on a soapbox, but this is our podcast, so we can say what we want. But it's the thing of like straight cis male sexuality is actually the most demonized. Like it's not like persecuted, it's not like oppressed, it's like you're bad for thinking that way. The sentence of sexualizing women is bad. Don't sexualize women, even if that's naturally, I'm sexually attracted to women, I should be attracted to women, but when I'm acting on that at all, I'm a villain, I'm a bad guy.
How, yeah. When you say acting on it, what do you, ooh, this will be a fun little twist. Guess who's been meditating, Zero? Guess who's super fucking present? Guess whose third eye is staring at you right in your closed forehead?
Hey, you seem very peaceful.
Honestly, man, I'm doing really well. But that's besides the point we're talking about you right now.
And I'm happy for you, by the way.
Thank you. When you say approach, I can't remember how you worded it, but when you say act on it, when you act on it, how do you act on it? Like, what do you do?
That's the thing. When I was younger, I just did it. I shut it all down because everything made me feel like that's bad to the point where I like what women want from me, what society expects from me. If I want to be a good guy, I don't interact with women like that. The only way you interact with women, if you want to be a good guy, is you talk to them like you would talk to an art piece. Like you go up and you're like, I respect you as a person. Hi, what is your favorite color? What do you like to do? I don't see you as a sexual being at all. I don't see any of the things.
You took the exact opposite approach that I took that's going to get me Me Too in the future.
Yes, okay. I neutered myself.
Right.
I went, I'm not horny. I'm not into that. And anytime I would have a thought like that, I'd be like, bad. Like, you thought about a girl's butt? Bad. You shouldn't be doing that. And because of that, I repressed myself, which is also why the few women who do get into my circle, I'm not freaky, as it were, but I'm definitely, I got levels of that. If it wasn't for the abstinence side of me, it would definitely go deeper than that. Like my lines.
I want to see your cookies.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. it gets dark, Aaron. It's not nice in the world of like my freaking repressed nature. I'm the reason that they had to start censoring porn. Like that's my demo. So
keep going. I'm excited. Give it to me.
Okay, so that's the first round of me, right? And I think that's the me that like everybody knows now, or at least everybody knew before I started working on myself. The me that has been running through life up to about, I would say, freshman year of college, maybe even sophomore year of college, was this like neutered, afraid of women because I don't want to make them feel bad because I'm a naturally empathetic person. The reason that I listened to what society told me was good and bad as a man is because I care about what, because I grew up around my family and I love the women that I grew up around. I want to spread that same love to the women that I want to share a connection with and be that thing. So when society told me, no, that's not what women want, I listened and I went, okay, don't view them like that. Cut it off. Your junk is evil. You should treat it that way. And then I realized that's not good or true. that's not good or true. Women don't want you to be a neutered boy. They like a certain level of like, I'm a straight woman, I like you finding me sexy in the same way that you as a straight man want me to find you sexy. That's a part of it. Yes.
Aaron. I would say that I know what you mean by in the same way, but the difference being, I don't think it is the same way. I don't think men want to be found sexy in the same way that women want to be found sexy. Does that make sense?
Explain. Like, I think I'm on the same page as you. I just clarified.
I'm going to speak on being throughout your teenage years and your early 20s. Mm. Teenage years, early 20s, I could give a fuck how women viewed me as long as they wanted to have sex. Whereas I think even in the teenage years and early 20s, women want to be viewed as sexy as well as other things. So I could give a fuck about the other things in terms of how women viewed me. As long as they viewed me as sexy, for them, they're always being viewed as sexy. Therefore, they want to be viewed as other things. Does that?
That's fair. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But to me, it was like, in my teenage years and early 20s, like they don't want to be viewed as sexy at all. Like they want to be viewed as the other things. So
women don't poop.
It's like if you just don't see them like that, then they'll like you the most. You'll be the best type of guy. You'll be the top tier guy. And I'm like, that's what I want to be. I want to be the guy that's good, that is the thing. And then I learned, like, oh, that's you do the same walk of shame that every man goes through when there's nobody leading you. It's like, oh, that's not true. Like, it's like you learn, like a kid that's been told no, 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 is like, that wasn't getting me anything. And all the dudes that are doing that are getting exactly what I would want. But like, what I would like is a girlfriend or somebody I could share those moments with. And when I don't do the sexualizing thing, I get viewed like a puppy dog. Like, it's real cute. Like, I appreciate you and I respect you, but like, also, like, I don't want to sleep with my dog. Like, that's not a thing.
I don't know what your search history looks like, Zero.
It doesn't go that bad, but it's like right next door. Okay. Anyway, so that was my first round. Is like, through that was learning being a straight man is okay. Being a straight man and finding women sexually attractive is not bad. Right. And acting on it isn't bad, obviously, to a point. Like, you still respect them, yeah, to a point. And then when the no comes up, when they go, hey, I'm not into it. Yeah, we could get into the that in another video. But for the masses who are going to take this out of context and the dummies who don't get what I mean, keeping it very straight to the point, you respect them as far as, yes, you are a person, but also I find you sexually attractive and I would like to do the sexual things. And learning that and becoming okay with that. That was my first round. And that's the point of happy and in myself that I wasn't. That's the point of accepting myself that I was at that point. Because even when I was in freaking blocked up mode, men are kind of the worst, neutral, like cut off my junk, I was happy. I just wasn't fulfilled in the side of my life that was relationships. It was like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'm cool. I'm chill with my friends. And yeah, I really wish I had that girl I have a crush on, but I get it, you know, she picked some other guy and that's her prerogative and whatever. Again, just the nicest little sweetheart. But then I realized recently, is that all of this is coming from the rewind backwards to my dad thing. See, as you remember earlier in the story, my dad was around until he wasn't around. I didn't realize that what I was doing was a subtle way of, and this is very meta, so like, follow me around. Excuse me. Follow me around the room with this. This is what my brain did as a kid. And it's stuff that, like, you know what it is. It's like, your brain just makes decisions and makes them subconscious. Like, these are facts in you, and you just live your life on that subconscious fact until somebody else is like, that's crazy. And you're like, what? And then you go, oh, I should figure out where that comes from and then undo all that. So essentially, dad not being around, but I think my dad is a great guy. Like, I'm like, my dad is a good guy. But if you asked me about any other man, if you went, Zero Chris, whatever your name is, if a man had a kid and then stopped being around for that kid, stopped taking care of that kid, stopped being a part of their life, are they a good guy? I would go, no, that's a terrible man. He needs to step up, have his responsibilities, take care of what's his, all the stuff. He shouldn't be doing that. And when you ask me about my dad, I would always go, no, but he's an exception. He's the exception to the rule, because my dad, like, what happened wasn't him not taking care of me. It was him, because at that exact same moment, he had my kid brothers. And I was like, he just went to go take care of them instead. He's being a better father to them. And so me, by proxy, it's fine. I understand. He's over there taking care of them. And I have my mom and I have my family and they love me. So it's good. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I would just go, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah. But what I had done, so that's my awareness. My awareness was at here. then I started thinking about it, and a level below that was like, what I had done was, in order to protect my idea of my father, just went out to get cigarettes. In order to protect the idea of my father still being a good guy, even though he had done this bad thing that other guys had done, was to go, he isn't a bad guy. If he's not a bad guy, somebody has to be bad in that situation. It must be me. It must, on a sub level, must be not important. I must be a bother, at least more of a bother than my new brothers. And not that I don't hold anything against them either. It's like just, again, self. And that's where I started my journey of self-sacrificing. And it goes further back than this, but like, this is one of the more major steps that I realized is like one of the things that I do my protection.
Like, instead of going for what I want and deserving a thing and going, this is what I want, this is what I deserve,
and standing up for that, instead, what I would do is go, that's not for me. You need it more than me. You go ahead. You go ahead. Like, my dad, he needs to take care of my other siblings. You go ahead and do that at the sacrifice of me. A girl who I have a crush on, you're talking to this other guy, kind of. You go ahead. Be with him. I don't need you. You want to be happy with that guy. He's probably better for you. Friends that are all around me and, like, want to hang out, you guys go hang out. Like, I don't want to bother you with my problems. Like, my problems are my problems. You guys go ahead. So all of that became this protection mechanism where I self-sacrifice to make everybody else in my head feel better. And what I thought it was me, like, caring about other people. But really, it was a protection mechanism where it's like, it's a lie, where actually what I'm doing is saying, I'm not as important. I am a bother.
By relinquishing things, they people can't take it from you.
Mm. Yeah. It's like, it's that, and also, like, I don't feel like I deserve to say that I want that thing. Like, I don't feel like I deserve to, like I said, the sentences that really started this train was, I was talking to my friend, and she was like, why don't you reach out to anybody? Like, why don't you talk to your friends in group chat? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I was like, well, I don't want to, like, bother them. I don't want to be, like, a bother. And she was like, that's a weird way to talk about your friends. Like, your friends don't look at you like that. I don't see you as a bother. I know they don't see you as a bother. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know that. But I just would feel like a bother. And it's like, that's weird. And I was like, is that weird? And I started unraveling it. And it's like, it is weird to view your friends and family. Like, if you come with your problems, your support group who's supposed to be there for you, the idea that you think that if you come to them that all you can be is either happy or a good time, is like, it's detrimental when you're not considering yourself.
I have a thing I want to add, but I want to wait till you're finished with your thought.
I'll try to wrap it up, because again, I'm learning more and more how deep the rabbit hole goes, and so it goes pretty far down that, like, I could talk about it for hours. So I'll wrap up this part of it. But essentially, the long and short of it is, it's a lot of things I'm doing that have a positive effect that are at self-sacrifice to me, because deep, deep down inside, I had decided that I'm not worth that. I'm not worth having a want. That if I do have a want, if somebody else steps on that want, that makes more sense. Like, they deserve to step on my want because I don't deserve to have a want. And that's essentially, like, that's the baseline headline of the thing that I'm working on, is learning that, like, again, except that whole cliche of, like, accepting yourself and being yourself. Mine's is, like, accepting that I am allowed to exist. I'm allowed to take up space. I'm allowed to be a part of this world and have wants and desires. And when somebody tells me no, I respect that. But at the same time, I'm allowed to be upset about it. I'm allowed to say, okay, well, then I gotta go. I'm allowed to feel the way that I feel. And it's not bad of me. A lot of my stuff is, like, self-inflicted, like, I'm bad for thinking this way, or I'm bad for being this way. And it's very meta, in a very meta way. But go ahead with what you got to say, because that's essentially it.
I guess this is then about this. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm, my own thing, because I haven't, you know, the words, sentences, grammar.
We use that.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first off, I already said this before, but I would like to reiterate it. Please reach out to me. I like it when you, I don't want our relationship to just be A to Z. It would make me very happy if you would reach out, especially if something is going on.
Yeah. And that's the thing it's very interesting, because it's like, that's literally like my journey is like making myself okay. Like, it literally, like, Like, imagine you had to do something that grosses you out. Like if you had to, like, one of your things is you have to every day, now, from now on, for at least one meal, you got to stick your finger in your ear and then eat some of your earwax. Like, that's what it feels like for me to take my thing. And it's like, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to come to a, and learning again, like, my whole thing is like, I'm learning that not only is it okay to come to people with the stuff, but it's okay to come to people in general, that I don't have to just come with a negative, but like, I can come with positive. But when I come with the positive, I don't feel like I need to come with the positive. It's such a, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Would it help if I reached out to you? Would that start the thing, or does that then defeat the purpose?
Here's the meta, is okay. I know the true answer is yes, but the part of me that knows me wants to lie to you and say no, because I don't want you to reach out to me, because gotcha. I don't want, in the same way that, like, you kind of, like I was saying before, you're kind of exactly where you want to be. My body and brain and heart and emotions don't want to change. So when I hear somebody, and my family did this when I was back home, a very specific subset of my family, but when somebody's like, I'll reach out to you, bro. I'll talk to you. I get in my head, I'm like, that's so annoying. Like, yeah. don't reach into my life. Be like, how are you? And then I have to go, I'm okay today. And like, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want
to be fair. I don't wanna fix it. My reaching out will be like, hey, fuckhead. What are you doing? Like, mine's not going to be nearly as sweet. So
yeah. Yeah, but it's the premise of it. Like, I can't not, because now I'm in that weird purgatory, and I know you know what I mean, where like, you're too aware of it. Yeah. Like, I know that now that I've told you that now when you reach out to me, a part of it is the fact that I've told you. So it's that weird girl thing. And this is going to sound real sexist, but it's like that. I don't want you to do it. This is why you send memes, LOL.
That's me and Carly's relationship, is she sends me memes and then I rate them through laughy faces.
Oh, good relationship. That's a good friend. For me, it's like, because now I know that you know, and I know that even if you were doing it from a genuine place, it's that girl thing. Is like, I don't want you to do it because I told you to do it. I want you to do it because you were already doing it. That's why one of my closest friends is this ex-girl that I have, who's a little bit needy. But because she's a little needy, it makes me feel, that's another part of my thing. Neediness is something that I realize, because I'm so far down in the list of, like, deserving wants, people who are needy, good stuff, nephew. Is that your person or mine?
I don't know.
Then I assume it's mine.
Yeah, who are you related to? We're all black, I assume.
And I can't see your profile, and I don't know the handle. So I'm sorry if you're
mine. Well, a little bit about where I'm at right now is I'm actually working on, first of all, I think that the needy thing, that's why this all started, is I was needy in the beginning of quarantine. I was looking for fucking help because of the situation. And right. I think that's that yin and yang that just kind of meshed well together. I've lowered my neediness in an extreme way. But one of the things I am working on, it's your dad's brother, Andre.
I feel like that must be me.
That's you?
That has to be me.
Okay. This is really a really good example of how disconnected we are from our families, that neither of us.
Like, now, to be fair, there's not like an icon. They haven't filled in their profile, but you know, it's fine. All love regardless. I appreciate it. If it's 100% related to me, which makes sense, because then we could get into the whole thing that, because I did talk to my dad when I went back home about all of this, and it was very interesting to see what was going on there.
I want to ask about that after I say this, and that is basically, I'm trying to, that is you. I think, can you?
Yeah, that's me. That's 100% my people. I can tell now by the way that he's talking, that it's like, yeah, that's my people.
So I'm working on building my own community, essentially. I want to be around people and interact with people that are going to support, uplift, positive, joke around, fuck around, rib, I'm fine with that, but that aren't going to try to tear me down with every decision that I make or what I try to do to better myself.
Okay, 100% verified that that's me. He spelled my name wrong, but that is me.
Why is it so quiet right now? It feels quieter.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you feel far away. That could be on me. Either way, I'll be fine.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead with what you were saying.
I'm trying to build that community. So I would like for you to be in my community, my little tribe of people that I trust.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. When I bother you, yeah, part of it is because you told me. And the other part is for my own selfish reasons.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't believe it's like so crazy. And that's why I'm working on it is because like I hear that and my brain, body, emotions. And this is like why it's my demon is because my demon is like, I don't want to be a part of your freaking community. Leave me alone. I want to do it on my, and you could ask, if you talk to my mom, you would understand this problem goes way deeper than like friendship because she'll like legitimately, like she's my mom and I love her more than anything in this world. And she'll do things to help me. And I'm very reluctant to take that help. I'm very like, you don't do that. Don't do that. I don't like you don't have to do that. And all this stuff. And it's because like there's this, the demon in my head says it's like a control thing, that it's like people, when they want you in their communities or they want you in their lives, it's so they can get this hook in you and they can go like, hey, if you want to be a part of our thing, then you have to conform to our way of thinking. And like, you have to be like us. If you don't be like us, then you got to go. You don't fit in. And that's the natural progression of those things. You do have standards within those groups, but my demon is keeping me outside of that by going like, no, you do it on your own. You do this on your own. Do you think it's because people held it against you before as a child? Held it against me?
Can like, you elaborate, Brenda?
From what I'm thinking you mean, nobody was ever mean to me or ostracized me or treated me bad. It's this defense mechanism that I created within itself. I think you have an avoidant attachment style. There's a lot of coping techniques for tackling that mentality.
Also, our community's on Spawn Ranch because we are going to create a black cult. I support this 100%.
I'm sorry, where'd you read that?
It's Esmeralda said it. It's a reference. Have you seen Tarantino's... Have you seen Quentin Tarantino's film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oh, no, I actually haven't.
We'll talk about it later. I've heard. Like being a weird kid, you just know.
Like being a weird kid, you just know. I guess that's the meta. If we're talking about this specific problem, I didn't have any idea until like 2 weeks ago. And that's why I'm working on it now. Like I legitimately have gone through my whole life with this in the background, like a hum in the back of your mind that you don't think about. It wasn't until somebody else was like, that's a little weird, that it like jarred it awake. You're not excluded, you just know. Yeah, it's like, I'll give you that it's like definitely a belief that I had, that like, it's kind of the same, and again, it's all connected. It's all this stuff I like created from like middle school and high school, and they all just stacked on each other.
What about, okay, it feels like this reminds me of the beginning of this podcast where but reverse.
Okay.
So in the beginning of the podcast, it was, here's all of Aaron's perspective in the yin and yang, and here's all the things Aaron needs to work out these next couple of months.
Right.
However, if the yin yang theory is to be utilized here, basically, if you do the same stuff I was doing, but your version in the beginning, then I think you'll reach what you need to reach. And so basically baby steps. What was the first baby step? Well, there's a big one. Hold on. It says
paragraph from the chat for those of you who are watching this later.
In my personal experience, I also have a hard time receiving love and support because I didn't get it from my parents without expectations involved. And so I deny myself those needs met.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, see, that's why mine gets kind of meta. Is yours, again, mine makes sense once you fully break it down into the meta of what it is. But, like, yours makes sense on a base level. It's like it's very one-to-one. Parents don't give you approval, so then you have a hard time accepting approval without proving it, without doing something to deserve that thing. My thing is, like, my parents both loved me, but then just for no reason to me, my dad stopped being around. Like, for no reason. And I, the best I could come up with, the child brain that I came up with, was he must be taking care of my brothers. But that taking care of my brothers thing, again, is like a self-sacrifice. Like, that's the excuse I gave. That's what works. And so that is the defense mechanism I use for the rest of life. Just don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm being a good person by not bothering anybody with my stuff, which is why I will give you, that is something we have in common, person in the comments, is that, like, when you say it like that, I definitely have a problem receiving love. Like when somebody, but it's not, when it's romantic and it's needy and it's over the top, that's when my brain clicks it over. Like when like somebody is like, and I again briefly touched on this a second ago, like the people who are the closest to me are usually those who are like within arm's reach and I see on a daily basis, or they insert themselves into my life so hard that it eventually became, yeah, it's like, yeah, like one of the reasons that the podcast is still going is because Aaron will hit me up on WhatsApp, like, are we doing it? And I feel bad about leaving him hanging. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm down to do it still. It's like, until you don't want to do it, I will continue to do it.
Do you actually not like to do this podcast?
It's a meta where I don't dislike doing it, but there are definitely moments where I'm like, I'm doing it for Aaron. Like, there's definitely several episodes sit there where it's like, Aaron needs this. Like, Aaron needs a buddy to vent about all of his freaking childhood trauma. So I'll just let it be. And it's like, it's fine. And I find my ways again. That's why the punch ups, I started adding that in for me, because I'm like, okay, I need to have something, because don't get me wrong, I love the meta and I love talking about people's inner stuff and I love being here for you and hearing about your journey. It's very fascinating. It's very interesting. That perspective is very there, but then it's like, all right, we've been doing this for like 17 episodes. We got to get something else in here. I got to smile genuinely. Because, like, every time we talk about racism, it's really bumming me out. So I brought in punch-ups for me so I could be like, yeah, here's a positive on top of it. But I also, I feel bad about even saying this.
No,
because I'm like, no, Aaron is just genuinely expressing his thing. And now I feel like, but I want to have fun right now. And I'm like, I don't like how much not fun I'm having. And it's like, he's trying to express his thing.
No,
and
I feel guilty about that. To communicate and quell those concerns. And I know that it's, as you would say, a meta thing. I know, I understand that. But just to articulate it, you should enjoy yourself on this too. There's balance. It's all about balance. And so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense that you wouldn't want to hear me talk about murdering my family members every time. Yeah. But
that's my personality. It's like, that's fine to me. Like, that's what I'm used to. What I'm used to is going like, you need, like, they need this, so I'll just sit back. He needs to talk about murdering his parents, so I'll let it be.
For you, what's like a baby step into whatever you need to do?
So that's what I'm doing right now. So my currents are three parts. One is, so what I'm learning for me is that it's all connected. That I think a part of the meta for me, and you've talked about this with your thing. Sorry, water makes me burp a lot. But the meta is, man, I gotta stop using the word meta. That's first step. Stop using the word meta. No, I'll stop when I need to. The first step for me in my journey of fixing my thing is like, so there's the part that it's all connected, where I'm realizing that the lack of care for self has bled into everything that I do, and that there's a reason. So the reason that, like, I wear the word shirts, and the reason that, like, sometimes my hygiene falls out, or I let my nails grow, or I don't care about my hair, is because on some level I don't respect myself. So I tell myself that it's like, I don't care what people think, and I don't care what people think, but it's like, I also don't care about me, because I'm just like, I'll just keep wearing the stuff from high school and middle school. I'll just keep wearing the clothes, and as long as it's clothes, it's fine. And on some level, I still very much rock with that idea, but on another level, it's like the subtlety of, like, yeah, the clothes don't make the man, but it is a certain level of, like, when you carry yourself a certain way and you have influences that are hitting you a certain way, you're going to continue acting in that way. So it's about changing some of my more on the surface activity. So things like reaching out to my friends, the stuff that I don't want to do, like the I don't want to get a new wardrobe. I don't want to. That here's one. I started exercising. And so this is a board that I have where I, like, every day that I do an exercise, I put a little tally down, and it's not anything crazy. Like, I'm not doing an hour workout or anything. It's just for what my body is right now. I'm just every day, I just make sure I do a solid. I watch a YouTube video and follow along with the workout instructor. Right now I'm rocking with Bully Juice. And so that's my dude.
Yo, did you know what? I do Bully Juice too? Yeah, yo, that yin and yang shit's real as fuck. I've been doing Bully Juice. What?
He's just super simple and nice. It's easy to follow. It's like, yeah, you're just with him, and it's really cool.
Yo, before you keep going, it's wild because everything you're talking about and doing is what I went through throughout all of those months up until this point. I'm excited for you. I'm really excited for you. Yeah. And I would really love to see this podcast go from a focus on me into the world of Zero.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I hate that. like I, because that's the thing about me. One of the other things about me is that I love analyzing other people, but I hate looking at myself. I hate seeing, like, don't get me wrong, ever so often I'll have like a, oh, that's what that is. And it is interesting, but it's like, to have it, like, be that, and I see my own grossness, and, like, to admit that, to say sentences like, I don't think is Zero an empath. I definitely have hard empathy thing, for sure. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm an empath, but I would say I definitely have heavier levels of empathy. But, what was I saying?
You were saying that focus on you, you're not comfortable with.
Yeah, because for me, it becomes like, that's what my problem is. My problem is, it feels self-indulgent. And I'm fine to do that to a cartoony, almost narcissistic, hilarious way. Like the way that it's like, the joke on stage is like, me, I think I'm handsome, I think I'm cool, I think I'm funny, I think I'm the dopest thing to ever live. Rapper mentality. Like that, I can do. But the deep down, like, no, seriously, give me your attention, that grosses me out. The idea of somebody being like, I deserve your attention. You need to give me your attention. You need to focus on me and my problems. And let's talk about me and my problems. And it's like, I don't like that. I don't like doing that to people. I don't like feeling like putting that on everybody.
The yin yang also, if it makes you feel better, the reverse is happening in my head where I'm like, oh, I'll tell Zero about me so that Zero will figure out with his stuff because it's about me now. Oh, it's all about me. So I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut the fuck up and continue listening to you and quell those instincts. And I'm sure you're going to try to quell your other instincts.
Yeah, I mean, it's this weird difficultness. And I know it's like, it's not special. I mean, that is the difference, right? Like you're saying, the yin yang is like, because yours is so obvious, like yours is so on the surface, so on the sleeve, like you talk about your mom and your family and all that stuff, it's very obvious that you should have those problems and you should talk about them and all that stuff and work on them. With me, because all of my stuff is so deep and subtle and like way down deep, that at the end of the day, if you looked at my life, if you looked at the house I grew up in, how everything worked out for me, what my experiences were, like, again, you'd be like, what do you have to complain about? And so I feel that. And because I feel that, I'm very like, yeah, don't worry about me. There, people have been raped. People have been abused, threatened with like violence. I've never had that. I've had it like twice, but even the little bit that I did, they weren't like, oh, you existing. It was like, I kind of did a thing, so I understand. It's like that thing where like I go full into like, even he is kind of my friend who's better than me. Like, even they have an opinion that I put above my own. And it's like, it's this, I feel so about it. And it feels like, it feels like a first world problem. It feels like me being unaware of all the problems in the universe and being like, but mine though. And mines are so subtle. It's like, I can still laugh. Again, one of the subtleties of mine is that if I didn't work on it, I could genuinely live a full happy life and like nobody would question it. Like I could live a full, I would still have my dreams come true. I might have a girl that wouldn't be as good to me. I might have some relationships that aren't as good as they should be. But overarchingly, like I could live a happy life by a lot of people's standards.
I think that you might be unaware of just how unhappy you are then. So you just said that if you were to stay the same, right? The same mentality for the rest of your life, you would live a happy life.
Yes.
I believe that if you go down the journey that I think you're about to go down, you're going to come to realize that you were not actually as happy as you thought you were.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a relative happiness. So in the same way, a lady, this is going to be a harsh, like a, this is the weirdest way to describe this. And I just want to preface that before I say it, because I'm not saying I'm equal to a lady with this problem. But like a lady in an abusive relationship, and she believes that she's happy and in love with that guy, you could hook her up to a lie detector and be like, I'm happy and in love, and she would pass with flying colors. She could live her whole life like that and die thinking that she was happy because she didn't look at a world or believe there was a world where there's a higher tier. And that's what I'm learning, is there's a higher tier to where I'm at. Again, outside of me, what I mean when I say I could be happy, I could be happy relative to everyone's outside looking in. Everybody seeing me on the street would see a like smiling, happy-go-lucky person and be like, he's happy. That's working. Even when he has some downtime, I'm like, I never see Zero down or sad. Like, that would be the consensus. And because I'm aware of that consensus, it makes me feel weird when I talk about it like you can see it. And it's a very meta thing, that it's only once you get those buttons pressed that
I see it now. After you said all of that, it recontextualizes our entire relationship. Yeah. When you would say things, now I view it differently. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a twitch. It's like if you've ever hung out with somebody who has a subtle version of
Tourette's.
Tourette's. Yeah. Like a very subtle one, like one that makes them blink kind of hard. And it's like that one, you could watch them every day, and then one day they say, I have Tourette's. Like, and then you'll go, oh, that's why you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. That's me. It's like my thing is a subtle thing that once you see it, it's hard to unsee. And you'll notice that like it's everything. Like that's why I say it's all connected, because it's like it's not just like these family relationships or these like romantic relationships or just my friendships. It's like how I walk through the world, and you can feel it. And when I'm in a mode, it'll definitely get looser. And like, again, like you said, with presence, like when you're on it, you're on it. There are times, and that's where like, again, oh, sorry, I didn't finish my thing. So first is like, it's all connected, working on that. Two is the meditative stuff where it's like learning to be like, here with it and not escaping into mine. Because for me, I think, I don't know if you had this one, But for me, I didn't realize how much I would run to fantasy world, like running to a world in my head of what could have been or what might be. And yeah. those are two worlds that I would find myself daydreaming about, actually dreaming about, trying to get to, like, all the time.
That, okay. The daydreams that you would have, are they positive or negative generally?
They're super positive. They're positive okay. way towards me. They're like, I had this moment with this person, and what if instead of that moment, it went like this? And then I play through a moment where I'm like, super charismatic and cool, and everything works out exactly how I want it to.
So I had the same thing, except it went negative. And I think, do you meditate?
It's a half yes. Yes and no. Like the way that I do it, I don't think most meditate people would call it that. But if you, I think you would agree that it is meditation.
What do you do?
It's essentially like sitting in silence and just letting my brain not think. It's like what I'm trying to do is get as many thoughts not in my head. So essentially, if I had to verbalize what my meditation is, it would be like sitting here like this, and then the thought would be in my head of like, breathe in, breathe out,
mm-hmm.
feel where my body is, take note of the room, like be here. Don't think about later. Don't think about the past. Here. And I know that's like what a lot of people call getting present. I just call it like being here, but like it is the same thing.
When a thought comes in, what is the strategy in dealing with the thought? What do you do?
For me, it's like, that was a thought. It was like, okay, so it's like, I'd be sitting there and then I'd be like, man, that cheeseburger I had earlier really sat in me weird. I'm like, it sat in me weird. Do I need to go to the bathroom? Why did I? Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to be thinking. Okay, hold on. And then deep breath, and then I like start over. And so I just like start back from breathe in deeply until eventually like I'll hit a solid. That's the thing. I fall in and out of it. It's like I'll have like a solid 5 seconds of being like no thoughts, head empty.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite ones is kind of memey because there is a meme. There's like no thoughts, head empty. And for some reason, like when I think that, is like that's where I'm trying to get to. When I let that be the only thought in my head, then it gets me there faster, if that makes sense.
It does. I think it's a matter of,
we have
I mean,
six
I
minutes,
think to get to, what's up?
We have 6 minutes, by the way.
Oh, okay. Then we can, I'm good with wrapping it up. But basically, last thing I would say about it is, I think it's a big part of it is a matter of knowing that you're not the Buddha, that like, it's going to come in and then having it come in, then like letting it go.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
No, I'm getting into like release, like trauma release. Like I'm getting more into this idea that like instead of, and again, it's because I watch very specific people. But like the more recently I've been in this idea of like, instead of trying to like beat the thing and go like, okay, I'm not that anymore. I'm better. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. Like repeated like affirmation type. Instead, I figure out what the trauma is, where it comes from, why I believe that. And then I go, okay, that was fine for that section of my life. It's time to let it go now. And then you let it go. You
yeah.
just like go, okay, that was fair. Totally understandable. I get how I got there. Let it go. Now,
yep.
now it's time to move forward. And it's not easy. Those things, old habits die hard. So they come back, but it's like slowly but surely weeding through all the weeds and letting them go. And since I've been doing that, again, I flow in and out of it. I'm only in week two of it. I'm not saying, again, like you said, I'm no freaking Buddha. I'm not enlightened by any stretch of the imagination. I still feel like I could easily fall back into all my old habits. But it is a thing where it's like, I do feel like I'm on the right path. I feel like whatever I'm doing is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing because the realizations I'm having about myself are very like, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
I look forward to this little process that you're going through, Zero.
You and me both, my friend. Mostly, again, a lot of it is being like, again, trying to get out of the thought of the future of it, because like all I want to do is like fast forward to the end where it's like, and now I don't worry about that anymore, and now I'm better. And I'm like, you're not gonna get there by thinking about getting there. Like, that's counterintuitive to the whole thing. And so it's trying to be okay with the fact that like it's not gonna be tomorrow, and it's not gonna be the next week or the next week, but it'll come when it's supposed to come. But yeah, this has been another episode of A to Z, you guys. Welcome back. Things are a little different now, talking about Zero this time. But thank you guys for tuning in. To remind you guys, I'm Zero Remsen. You can find me at zero underscore KR anime on Instagram. You can YouTube search Zero Remsen. All of my stuff is on there. Zero underscore KR anime on TikTok. And below me to my right is my man Aaron Chase. You can find him at AaronChase91 on all social media, Instagram, TikTok. Do you have a Twitter?
No, yeah, but don't it doesn't matter.
Okay, then just mostly those two. And this is the podcast A to Z. If you want to watch any of our other episodes, you're probably already on the page. But if you're here, you can watch them on YouTube.com. Search Buddy System Comedy, and all of our episodes are up. And you can hear about Aaron's trauma that led us up to here. And then you'll understand all the stuff that Aaron was talking about and how Aaron is Aaron. But yeah, until next time, appreciate you guys watching, listening, all that stuff. I'll see you guys next time. Later, baiters.